Well, this morning, we are so glad you're here. I believe God has a miracle that you're going to participate in. What we have today is one of my favorite things that ever happened to me, and I've had a lot of things. I was speaking at a university, and when I was there, I had a break, and I went to the cafeteria. And while I was in the cafeteria, there's all these college students, and knowing college students as I do, we're sitting there, and some of the kids sitting around me, we got into this discussion about God and following Him and what it means to give our lives. So I reached in, and I had a $50 bill in my pocket, and I pulled it out. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to be able to explain this to you guys. I'm going to show it to you about how God changes us. I said, hey, can I have everybody's attention? I don't know how many hundreds of students were in there, but I mean, it's a pretty good size university and cafeteria. And I don't usually have a hard time getting people's attention or doing things like this. So I stood up and said, can I have everyone's attention? Who could use a $50 bill? Yeah, and that's what happened in the room too. And it was all these college students who could definitely use some money. And I said, I just want to prove a point. I would like to give this to the first person who would simply reach down, grab a hold of your shoelaces, grab a hold of your heels. I don't care what you do. And all I need you to do, first person who does it, just reach down, grab a hold of your feet, and just get some air underneath there. No jumping, just pull yourself up. Any air will do of pulling your 2 feet up. Without hesitation, students have jumped up out of their seats. They're now standing, grabbing their feet, grabbing their shoelaces, grabbing their high heels, and they're pulling on themselves. Students have climbed now up on tables in the cafeteria, and I'm thinking, I'm in a lot of trouble here. They're grabbing a hold of their feet, and they're up on tables. Students are doing that, losing their balance. They're falling over. They're crashing, collapsing all over this dining commons for $50. And I just sat back and just smiled because I know it's impossible. Physically, you cannot lift yourself up by your own bootstraps. It is an impossibility. And I meet people all the time, and I finished just smiling. I went over to the students, and they just went, wow, that was really cool. I said, yeah, it's amazing what you can get people to do for $50. But more than that, I said, do you understand? Oh, yeah. We can't do it no matter how hard we try. We cannot change ourselves and become a better person. And I know, follow me here, it's good to better yourself. But listen, I meet people all the time that are trying to better their lives. It's 2013. I'm going to be a better father, so I'm going to try to be better than I was last year. And I'm going to be better physically, so I'm going to go work out more to be better. And I'm going to be better Christian, so I'm going to read more scripture to be a better person. Which is great. If all it was I want to be a better person, the problem is, a better you doesn't make you necessarily a better person, because what you're saying is, I want all the better good stuff in my life to be better, but not all the worst stuff to be better. I mean, you don't want to be a better liar, do you? Or a better sinner, or a better drinker, or a better jerk, right? I want to be a better person. And for me, looking at you, I'd be like, wow, not me. Because you have to take the whole. You can't separate that. And listen, if you could be better on your own, you would have done it. And so this morning, behind that curtain is such a life-changing moment. Such a life-changing moment. If you walk into my house years ago, someone in our home group gave this to us. They got together, and this really means the world to me, because this is my testimony. This is me. And I'm going to share it with you, because as we look at unveiling God, we have to look at what's behind here. And say, God, you just showed yourself to me in such a way, when I walked out of here, I was even more of what you wanted me to be. That's what it's all about. And so what's behind here is so important to us this morning. What's behind here represents to me, in my foyer, when you walk into my house, the hope that I have for everybody. And I apologize on the side wings. I'll explain this if you can't see it, but you can't see it because of the glare, so let me just. This in my house represents my life. And this represents what I believe God wants to do in all of us. It's a picture. It's a picture of a man whose struggle is this bronze that in his life he's contained in this body. And while we might think we have freedom in that body where our movements aren't quite there because it's so restricting. And the captain says, born again. If any man is in Christ, he's a brand new creation. The old has passed. And it has this glass figure of just purity, of this man just breaking out and being set free. And that's what I think God wants to do in our lives. I know he did that in my life, and I've had that freedom. You see, we spend our lives trying to become so much more. But sometimes being so much more of what we already are really isn't the answer, because no matter how hard we try, unless God changes us, unless something happens inside, we'll never have that happen. And so today we have here a baptistry, the mikvah. What's amazing about this mikvah is I went down to Tractor Supply Company and I bought a horse trough. I walked in, and they had three of them out there. And then I got down there, I went back, and they only had two. One had a hole in it. I said, that's not going to work. And they wanted a certain amount of money for it. I said, well, yeah. I said, well, that's great. Will it hold water? She says, I think so. I said, well, listen, will you knock off $100 or so? And because I'm buying it from my church. And she said, excuse me? I said, yeah, I'm going to turn it into a baptistry. She went in and she talked to her manager who came out. He said, excuse me? I said, yeah, I'm gonna baptize people in it. And he called his boss on the phone. And he came back and he says, yeah, you got it, Pastor. Wow. And then I went and I bought some cloth at Joann Fabrics. I'm standing there in the fabric store at the table where they do the cutting, the it's at that place where they do the I don't. The lady who does the cutting thing there, they at the table. The who to what? Sure, where she measures it. You ladies know what I'm talking about. For me, it was not my first rodeo in there, but it was definitely a rodeo. And I got in there, and I'm talking to the lady. She goes, what are you looking for? I said, I need some fabric. She says, for what? I said, I need to cover a horse trough. And she said, for what? I said, I'm doing a baptismal. She said, you're what? And this lady goes, I don't normally work back here, so I'm not sure where everything's at. Let me find out. What are you doing? And I said, I'm baptizing people in a horse trough, and I need to cover up the front of it. And she said, no kidding. What church are you at? I said, oh, Grace. And she goes, oh, yeah, yeah. And she answered almost before I could get the words out. And I thought, she's thinking downtown Grace Episcopal. And she goes, oh, no, 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 no. You're the one in the mall. Yes, we are. She says, you know, all my life, you know, I've gone to church. She says, I've never been baptized. And this Good Friday, I'm getting baptized. She said, at my church, and I figured it was high time I got baptized and get involved in church. She goes, it also happens to be my birthday. So on one day, I get two birthdays. And right there, we're having church at the cutter thing, measuring thing. And I said, God, you're so good. I love this. See, in the Old Testament, this was called the mikvah. It was God's idea to do this, by the way. God's idea was to say this, that no matter what we do, you and I are not clean enough to stand with him. If I were to put some dirty water in here, even just a cup of dirty water I would take out of my dog kennel and say, why don't you jump in? You'd say, that's filthy. I say, but I have 300 gallons of pure water that we took out of the tap, heated it up, did that yesterday and this morning. I said, but it's just a little. That's the way God is. No sin, nothing dirty could come in. I am a holy God. I am perfect. There's nothing, nothing in heaven that's going to be imperfect. That's why Lucifer is no longer here. And that's why you will never be here, because of what Adam did. Because what Adam did was he played in the dirt. And we all got dirty. Because of what Adam did, none of us were invited into the presence of God. And God, in his great love and wisdom, said, I would do anything to get you back to me, Adam. And he says, here's what I'm going to do. I will give you a mikvah, which is really interesting as I read about the mikvah. It's a cleansing tub, baptistry, that was built in the synagogue. The purpose behind the mikvah was this. God said, outwardly, I need a symbol to say that you have repented, to show that you've been cleansed. If you've touched a dead animal, if you've been unclean, women, during certain times, you need to take a dip. Priests, before you come talk to me in the church, you can't even come talk to me unless you dip yourself 7 times in this thing and put on a clean robe, which is pure. And then and only then you might get to come in. And when you come in with your beautiful ephod, your robe with your purim and your thummim hanging there with all the beautiful garments and the jewels on the chest of that ephod, we're going to sew around the skirt of that ephod. We're going to sew bells on there just in case you have any sin you messed up on. And we'll tie that rope around you just in case when you come into the holy place before me, if you have any sin and you drop dead, that nobody else can walk in there because they haven't gone through all this preparation. They'll just take that rope and drag you out when the bells quit ringing, knowing that you've died. And God said, there will never, ever be sin in my presence. And we are separated from God because we're dirty. The Bible says every one of us, because of Adam, David said, I was born in sin from my mother's womb. We were born in original sin. And so they came up with this thing. God said, I want to do anything I can to bring you back into my presence. And so the mikvah was that moment. And they created this. And what's amazing about the mikvah was this water represented washing, cleansing. We use it for all the time. He said, make it 1 cubit deep by 1 cubit wide by 3 cubits long. When I went out there in the snow, out in the parking lot, I looked at this thing, and a cubit is from about your shoulder blade to your fingertip. That's a cubit, in case you're ever reading in the scripture, and you go, what's a cubit? Well, there you go. What's amazing about this is 1 cubit deep by 1 cubit wide by 3 cubits long. I said, thank you, Tractor Supply, for your Yiddish donation to our ceremony this morning. God is so good. He's not even accidental when I'm being silly. He always has a purpose for my life. Everything he does is so good. And so I said, God, the Spirit without limit, let me just get close to that. Let me just have 10% or 50% of who you are. I want to know you. And he says, good, take a bath. Because you can't get into my presence unless you take a bath. So this morning, we're talking about taking a bath. You see, there's John the Baptist standing there and about waist deep in the Jordan River, and people are walking up. I don't know what they were thinking. They didn't bring a change of clothes. They didn't have some kind of church meeting. They just walked up, and they saw John baptizing, and they walked out in the water with their clothes on with no towel and nothing to change into to walk home, and they got baptized because they wanted the hunger of who God was. So there he is, and all of a sudden he looks. Don't know exactly how it stirred in his heart, but we know when they were babies in their mom and dad's womb, and we talked about that last week. If you haven't heard about life, go back and get last week's tape online. And Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, or sister, was pregnant, and she went to visit her. And Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist, and of course Mary was pregnant with Jesus, the Son of God. And remember what happened? The babies leapt inside in the presence. They knew. They knew before they were born. And by the way, just so you know, those that are, and I'm glad you guys came back last week. I was reading in my devotions yesterday, and I had a note, and I thought, oh, I didn't say that last week. And it was just something I had read a few months ago, and I wrote down, it was, isn't it funny how everybody who's for abortion has already been born? I just thought that was interesting. There, now it's in today's notes. And there they are again, and John looks and he sees Jesus. Do you think something leapt inside of him again? And he went, the Son of God, behold, the Lamb who takes away the sins, the dirt of the world. And Jesus walks up, and could you imagine John's reaction? Like, I'm going to get baptized by God himself. He goes, huh, and Jesus goes, baptize me. And John goes, no, you've got this backwards. I need to be baptized by you. And Jesus says this, no, John. Very clearly says, John tried to deter him. I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus said, no, 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 let it be so for now. We are going to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, those of you who say, well, I don't know, I was baptized as a kid just like Jesus. I mean, I was taken to the priest, and my parents did this. And here's Jesus, 30 years old, doing what Scripture says. I know that you want to get close to God. In order to do this, you need to repent, which is, as an adult, a believer baptism, and be baptized, representing that washing that God says, now enter into my presence. And so Jesus gets baptized. What a moment. The entire Trinity shows up for this baptism. You just brought your family and friends. Well, the Bible says, and a dove like the Holy Spirit shows up and descends on him. And a voice from heaven like thunder says, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. What a moment. Talk about inviting your family to the baptism. And there's Jesus. Well, then Peter shows up later on. Remember the story of Peter in the Scripture? There, I mean, he's sitting, and the disciples are sitting around there having some dinner. And Jesus walks over, and he grabs some water. He looks right down at his disciple. He says, take off your sandals. Take off my sandals. And he poured water into a basin and began to wash their feet. One by one, he got down, he took a cloth, he took water in a basin. You got to understand, it's the lowest job in the house. They're walking around in the dirt all day long. They're walking down on the street where people are spitting, and they're walking on the roads where the animals are being animals. And the Son of God grabs their feet between their toes. Folks, I'm not touching your feet. I love you. And if you want me to wash your feet, in a heartbeat, I'd do it. In fact, I'll just pick someone in the audience right now to come wash your feet. Are you kidding? How embarrassing. Not in front of everybody. What Jesus, Peter's response is, Lord, look at this, Lord, which I find is ironic, Lord meaning you're in charge. Are you going to wash my feet? In other words, don't touch me. You don't realize what I'm doing, he said, but later on you'll understand. And then Peter says this in verse 8, no, you will never wash my feet. What did Jesus say? Unless I wash you, you have no part of me. And I love what Jesus' answer is. He said, look, Peter, you don't need a whole bath. You've already had a bath. You've already had a bath. What you need, he who's had a bath doesn't need another bath. You just need your feet washed. Look, maybe your feet took you to places you don't need to be. Maybe you need your tongue washed. Maybe you just need your mind washed. But you've already had a bath. You're already changed. You're already a new person. You don't need to do this again. But sometimes you just need to clean it up a little bit and wash up a little bit before dinner, before you come in and meet with me and sup with me. Does that make sense? Are you with me? And so there he is. We've been made dirty, and we just maybe need a bath. And there's so many people that are trying to change. I meet people all the time, and I love it. I'm trying to change. I mean, I've been on a brand new regiment, but I didn't do it because of the new year. I just did it because I just needed a change in my life. I said, I'm going to just start eating in a different way. Fast food, we're just going to start eliminating some of those things. I'm going to live healthier. I want to be healthier as a man so I can be better for my family, so I can live longer as a human, so I can serve God more as a pastor. And then I said, I want to know God more. I want to get into his word and just get so close to him, because God, I feel like I need to change. No matter how much I try to change, I can't do it. I keep being the same man that I am. I just become better at it, which means I'm a better reader, but I'm also a better jerk, a better liar. I don't want that, God. I don't want to just keep turning the same leaf over. How many times can you turn the same leaf and expecting it to be clean on one side? And God says, no, I don't want a better you. I want a new you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's an incredible scripture. I would take and just underline this in my Bible. I'd put it up somewhere I can see it every day, whether it's on your Facebook page or whether it's on your iPad or whether it's on your mirror in your car, and you could see this every day. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new... Read this with me. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, He is a new creation. Stop. We know the old is gone, the new has come. That word creation in your Bible is a word that does not exist on our planet. It doesn't exist. I had a friend that looked this up years ago, and I said, you're right. He said this. He said, what that word means, this word creation, it says a species unlike anything you can find in all the world or all the universe. See, God doesn't want to make you a better man. He doesn't want you to evolve up. He doesn't want to reincarnate you, reinvent you. He wants to take the old, get rid of it, and he wants you to be brand new. I don't want a better you, but how about a new you? How about something that busts through unlike the world has ever seen? How about we say, God, do something in my life today like has never been done before. God, make me new. I've been trying to renew myself. I meet people all the time. They're just like, I'm just going to try harder. And I don't know if they make the same faces, but you know, you do that and you're like, okay, it's 2013. I'm going to try hard. I'm going to diet better. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to go to the gym more. You'd have done it last year if you could have done it. It's not about trying harder. It's about surrendering, saying, I can't do it. Something has to change me. And it has to be not on the outside. It has to be on the inside. That's like a vacuum in your house. You say, hey, you got a vacuum. What is a vacuum for? Well, it sucks up the dirt. And you vacuum up the dirt, and then something else spills, and you go over and you suck that up. And you go over and you suck that up. One day the vacuum says, I don't want to be a vacuum anymore. I want more in my life. I want to be a coffee maker. I want to make lattes. I want whipped cream on top. I want to be a cappuccino machine. And no matter how hard that vacuum wants to be a coffee maker, no matter what it does, and no matter how hard it tries, no matter how many times it confesses I'm a coffee maker, it still sucks. That's all it does. And in our lives, no matter how many times we say, I'm going to change my marriage, I'm going to change my life, I'm going to change my habits, I'm going to change my ways, I'm going to be this, it still sucks. Because you can't do it. If you could do it, Christ died for nothing. Because in our sin, we will always go back to the path of least resistance and the easy way. You were born in original sin, you were bent and broken, and it all bends the wrong way, and you don't get the age of accountability until that moment you're standing there as a little child, and the lamp is broken, and your dad asks you, who did it? And you go, the dog. Rather than saying, I did it, I want to be a better me. And we lean towards the wrong way in our lives, and it's so much easier. Now, I know we can try, and we can be good people. I had someone share with me after the first service, what's the difference between being a good person and being a God person? Well, take God out of good and you have all they have left is a big fat zero. I thought that was good. That's worth using in the second service. Somebody's going to go, that is going to be my Facebook status today. Without God, I'm a big... Anyway. So what are you going to do? Well, I want to go in and be baptized to represent what Christ has done in me. He has forgiven me and washed me with a new washing. John said, I baptize you with water for repentance, but there's one coming after me who's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And that's what happens inside of you. And all of a sudden, everything is different, and your life will never be the same. All of a sudden, in your rebellion, your heartbeat, and I shared this with the students on Wednesday night, with our high school students, and your heart's beating, and it's beating, and it's beating, and you come up to God, and you find out you're in rebellion, your heartbeats aren't the same, and what they found with a mother and a baby, they found out that even though their heartbeat's different, when they did all these studies, they found if you take that baby, and you put that baby on the mother's chest, and he gets close to her bosom, and as they get there, and he hears that heartbeat, that baby's heart will synchronize with his mother's heart. I said, isn't that what God wants? I want to be close, close to your side. Hallelujah. God Almighty. Heartbeat. And all of a sudden, nobody will recognize the difference between your heart and God's heart. Wow. Can that change my life? And it cannot happen when you're not close enough to know God. It only happens when he changes you inside. And all of a sudden, it's not two hearts. I wonder why Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Father and I are one. I've been reading that in John for the last 2 weeks, just over and over. Every morning just going, really? You opened the eyes of the blind. You healed the sick. You did this. And they kept asking, show us, tell us who you are. And he's like, really? I keep telling you, but you don't listen. I keep doing miracles. You don't pay any attention. No wonder why Jeremiah the prophet says, even though they have eyes, they cannot see. And even though they have ears, they cannot hear what God is doing. Until you get that close. So this morning, my question is this. We have people who are going to get baptized. They're going to take a bath this morning. They're going to come into here just like in first service. They're going to take a bath. They're going to get baptized. What does that mean? I mean, I talked to a lady and she says, I'm getting baptized on Good Friday. Isn't that great? I said, that's awesome. She goes, I'm going to have two birthdays. I said, that is John 3:3 in a heartbeat. Great sermon. I'm standing there and people are listening to us while she's doing her measuring thing. And I'm just standing there going, wow, I should take an offering. We'll get this for free. We're having church right here. And all I said is I bought a horse trough and I need to cover it up. I had church at Tractor Supply. I have church everywhere I go. Because here it is. If you know you're dirty, and we all are dirty, and you know you need a bath, when you take a bath, people look at you and go, you clean up pretty good, Pastor. You clean up pretty good. What are they saying? You look good. They'll see Christ in you. They can't help but see Christ. Everywhere you go, they'll just be like, you smell good too. People ought to see that. Just like this woman sitting there cutting my fabric. I'm getting baptized. Really? And people probably sit around. I can imagine the conversations when the next person in line, next, what was that all about? Horse troughs and what? Could you imagine? It was like the lady at work. I just read about it last month and then it happens to me at Joanne Fabrics. And she was at her work. She was getting baptized. And people at work said, what's it like to get baptized? And she said, and this was her answer. I don't know why people do this. Maybe it was because it's around Halloween. She says, well, I suppose being baptized just represents what God's done inside of me. He reached down. He took the top off. He reached in. He scooped out all the seeds and the junk. He cleaned it all out. He carved a smile on my face and he put a light inside of me. That sounds good. Sign me up. I want that in my life. You see, when Christ is in your life, you want to take a bath, and you ought to smell better for it. Otherwise, you haven't had a bath with God. So when you do that, it reminds me of these 40 men. You may not know this name, and as I close and we get ready with our candidates that are going to get baptized today, there's a guy by the name of Lucius. You know who Lucius is. In 312 AD, he ruled the eastern part of the known world by permission of a guy that you'll probably know, Constantine. Constantine ruled the West. Well, he ruled it all, but he couldn't rule the East. And you know what's happening in the East. There was all these Moors and the Muslims, and they were, well, no, that actually it was the Romans. Excuse me, back up. It was the Muslims and all the, the Romans and all the stuff that was going on there, and then all the other enemies that were trying to fight in. Muslims hadn't shown up yet. Not for another 200 years. He had a guy rule that area for him. One of his nobles, one of his generals. His name was Lucius. And to make sure that Lucius did the right thing, he had Lucius marry his sister, Constantina. That makes you nervous. When your name's Constantine, your sister's Constantina, what does she look like? Looks just like Constantine. Good, you're marrying her, and you're going to rule together. You get the east, half of the world. Problem, Lucius hated Christianity. What did Constantine do? He legalized for the first time in the world Christianity. It was the world religion. Well, Lucius hated it and says, I will put to death in the east. I don't care what Constantine, my brother-in-law, said. Everyone who believes in Christ will die. He found out 40 of his top warriors were Christians, that interacting with Christians in all these churches. Remember, this is 312. What's going on? Well, Paul had spread the word and the gospel, and Peter and Mark and Barnabas, these guys had planted churches everywhere in the east. So these guys get saved. He finds out, he says, 40 of my best warriors are Christians. You got to denounce Jesus Christ. no, sir, we can't do that. I can't have these guys being Christians. He marches them out one day. And he takes them out on a lake in modern Turkey. There's a lake out there, and it's in Fox's Book of Martyrs. He marches them out on this lake. He takes all of their warrior gear. They take all of their armor, set down their spears, and he strips them down naked until they. He says, just denounce Jesus Christ as your Savior, simply saying, he is not my Savior. Jesus, I hate you. I don't want you anymore. And I'll let you come off that ice and live. 40 warriors standing on that ice in that freezing cold on that lake began singing, we're the 40 martyrs. We're the 40 warriors. We stand for Christ and we'll do no other. And they began making up songs and chants as warrior men standing on a battlefield might, but now stripped of every dignity they had, are singing stronger than they've ever sang before. Lucius is incensed. He can't stand it. He goes to the shores and he has his men light fires. He builds fires. He starts cooking stews. He says, men, come off the ice and come warm yourself by the fire. Denounce that Jesus is your Savior. These men will not bow down. And one by one, they begin dropping, froze to death. Lucius is so incensed. He says, I've got to save some of these. These are my best warriors. He takes and he builds these water basins and he heats them up. Hot tubs. He says, guys, I have this warm water. Come sit in the warm water. Denounce Christ. And these men stand there and one by one are freezing, hypothermia, and just dropping. If they're not dead, they're unconscious until 39 are down and one remains. And the one that's remaining makes his way frozen, seeing that there's no one else alive standing next to him. He walks off the ice and he denounces his faith in Jesus Christ. And he climbs into one of the hot tubs. Eventually, later on, dying though, not surviving it. But there was such a great song of 40 warriors. One of the men standing by the side was so excited as he watched the faith of these men. It inspired something in him. Something inside him began beating. And in unison with these men, he stripped down his armor. He set down his spear. And in front of the entire army, confessed Christ as his Savior. Walked out, stripped down naked, and joined the 39 and died. And the song of the 40 continues today. Wow. Moments that can't be made up in storybooks. Only in real life, and only in a God who is so great. 2013 is the best year of your life. Not because you say so. Saying I believe in God will not get you to heaven. But believing in the message of Jesus Christ, believing in the message that he died and rose from the dead, he'll sprinkle your heart with the blood of Christ, forgiving you. Though your sins be as red as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Only he can bust you through and give you a brand new life. Wow. We have some people that want to get baptized this morning. So I'm going to invite those. But wait a minute. Maybe there's somebody in here who's never given their life to Christ. You believing in God does not make you a Christian any more than the devil believing in God makes him one. He's not a Christian. And trust me, James chapter 3 says, even the demons believe in the devil and shudder. Even the demons believe in Christ and shudder. So those of you that have never not believed in God, but have never trusted in the message that God raised Jesus from the dead for your sins, and you'd like to do that, I want to pray with you right now. If we could just pray, and you'd like to give your life to Christ today by praying, Father God, forgive me of my sins. I can't do it. I surrender my life. I can't make myself the man I need to be, the woman I need to be. So today, God, I give you my life. I trust in Jesus as my Savior. I believe and I confess it and I give you my life. In Jesus' name, amen.